The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
With fuel prices skyrocketing, Ciara, around the world, the US has temporarily lifted sanctions on Russian oil. We're joined now by the professor of politics at DCU and author of Unfinished Empire, Russian Imperialism in Ukraine and the Near Abroad, Donika Obakhon, to discuss what this means for Putin. I'm assuming, Donika, that Putin will be delighted at this development.
Yes. Initially, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth in Moscow when U.S.-Israeli attacks on Iran started, because Iran is considered an ally of Russia. And indeed, at the beginning of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, Iran supplied Russia with a lot of drones. Now, of course, Russia has its own domestic drone industry, so it doesn't really rely on Iran so much. But it still doesn't like to see an ally in jeopardy. It's already lost Bashar al-Assad in Syria. It's seen Maduro in Venezuela taken to New York and put on trial. It's seen Cuba under pressure. So it doesn't want to see the Iran regime fall as well. But after a few days, and certainly now after 2 weeks, Russia sees an opportunity because oil prices have skyrocketed. Russian oil supplies, of course, are not affected by anything that happens in the Gulf. They don't, you know, move their oil and gas that way. So the oil price, of course, will increase the revenues that are available to Russia, for Russia to prosecute its war in Ukraine. And more customers are lining up. And the U.S. has removed, or temporarily at least, removed the sanctions that it was applying on countries for buying Russian oil. Because, of course, now the pressure is being felt in the United States and at the gas stations, and they want to do everything possible in the short term to stabilize those prices and stop them from rising further.
And Donald Trump has effectively sacrificed Ukraine.
Well, I think he did that a long time ago. I mean, it's now over a year since we had that blow up in the Oval Office where he threw Vladimir Zelensky out of the White House. You know, it's also more than a year since Ukraine signed up to a ceasefire, which Donald Trump demanded, and Russia has not. And yet, the relations with Russia have not soured, because at the end of the day, the United States sees Russia as a peer. It doesn't see Ukraine as a peer. The United States wants Canada, at least if you listen to Trump, to be the 51st state. It wants to annex Greenland. It wants Panama back. It wants control of its hemisphere. What does Russia want? Russia wants control of its neighborhood, including Ukraine. So they see eye to eye on this notion of spheres of influence for great powers, and smaller powers really don't matter. And Ukraine, unfortunately, falls into that category.
A few weeks ago, we were hearing reports, you'll know how valid they were more than I will, but we were hearing reports that Putin was under a little bit of economic pressure back home. The sanctions were biting, and that he could come under pressure. Have those forms of pressure been alleviated by what has happened and the spiking of oil and now the of oil prices and now the dropping of at least temporarily of these sanctions?
Absolutely. It's been an economic lifeline for an economy that was under quite sustained pressure. More than that, he sees an opportunity here to remove Russia from the kind of geopolitical isolation that it's felt now for several years. And he had a phone call, of course, with Donald Trump for an hour during the last couple of days. And during that, he seemed to position himself, Putin did, as a potential mediator in this conflict between the U.S., Israel and Iran. And of course, there would be certain irony there, because the U.S. has presented itself as a mediator in the war between Russia and Ukraine. And many feel, of course, it takes Russia's side more often than Ukraine's. And here we have Putin almost reciprocating and saying, well, look, you have a conflict with Iran and Iran is kind of an ally of ours. I could step in and perhaps mediate that to, you know, for a mutual benefit. So it's a delicate balancing act, of course, for Putin, because he doesn't want to, as I said, dump his ally Iran. He doesn't want, of course, to alienate Donald Trump, but he does see an opportunity. And as I said, if anyone who's watching Russian television over the last 2 weeks will have noticed this narrative shift from outright condemnation of the attacks in the beginning to a very big softening of that tone as they see an opportunity for Russia and complimenting Putin in his diplomatic initiatives to bring the conflict to an end through negotiations with the United States.
Friedrich Merz, the German chancellor, has said the easing of the sanctions against Russia is the wrong response. Will that be uniform reaction across Europe, do you think?
It will be almost uniform. Of course, the typical outlier will be Hungary. They are, of course, happy to take Russian gas and have been looking to extend, and indeed were indulged by Donald Trump. He gave them a year's right to extend their imports of Russian gas. But yes, it will be almost uniform. But the terrible tragedy for Europe at this moment in time is that no one's listening to what Europe is saying. Europe is expressing deep concern, but Europe is ultimately a payer. It's not a player. And, you know, there's that old saying which has been used many times during the last couple of years, that if you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu, and Europe is not at the table. As I said, it's Russia's at the table, Ukraine is at the table, Iran might be brought to the table, the US is at all the tables, but Europe is never invited.
How worried will Ukraine be about this latest development?
Very worried, because for them, it's firstly a distraction. I mean, many people have been killed during the last 2 weeks in Ukraine. There was a terrible attack, in particularly on Kharkiv. Many civilians, including children, were killed, but it's not being captured in the news. They will, of course, see the U.S. as a potential supplier of weapons, which now they can no longer supply. Now, they're not supplying, as they were under Joe Biden, these weapons, you know, for free. What's happening is the European Union is buying these weapons from the United States and supplying them to Ukraine. But now those weapons and air defense systems are no longer. So, for example, the U.S., has used more Patriot missiles as a defensive mechanism in the last 2 weeks than Ukraine has managed to use in the last couple of years, because they were, of course, relying on the U.S. To get those Patriot missiles. The irony is, actually, is that rather than the U.S. supplying Ukraine with military aid, they've looked to Ukraine for military advice on how to handle the Iranian drone attacks. Of course, the Ukrainians, as I've said, were, you know, defending themselves from Iranian drones, which they had supplied to Russia for some years now. And they are the world leaders in air defense systems against Iranian drones. So the irony is that it's actually the other direction that the support is going.
Oh, it is a very tangled web. Just very finally, do you think it's possible that in a couple of years from now, we could look back upon this as a turning point in terms of Russia's war against Ukraine, a negative turning point in terms of Ukraine?
It's certainly a concern, because we have had for the last long time now a stalemate in this conflict. Russia controls about 19-20% of Ukraine's territory, but that's more or less the same percentage that they held in the spring of 2022. But we're now exiting the winter. Russia tried to weaponize the winter by freezing the population of Ukraine, but there's now a summer offensive that they're mobilizing for. Their economy was under stress. Now they've got this economic lifeline from the increased oil prices because of the U.S. invasion of Iran. So there is a fear that this could put the wind at Russia's back. And as I said, there's no one there to step in to help Ukraine in the same way. Russia's allies, such as North Korea, for example, have been able to supply Russia with more ammunition than the European Union has been able to supply Ukraine. So we are entering into a dangerous period. And the longer this war lasts, for sure, in Iran, the more it will benefit Russia rather than Ukraine.
Okay, we will leave it there. Professor of Politics at DCU, Donika O'Bakon, who is also author of Unfinished Empire, Russian Imperialism in Ukraine and the Near Abroad. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
Thanks, Shane.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.